I would just like to say tonight, all that I am and all that I ever hope to be is because of a man called Jesus. Without him, I would be nothing. We would have no hope, no reason to live. But with him, we're on our way to a glorious place. It is marvelous to see all of you here tonight. I want you to turn directly with me to the word of the Lord in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I feel an urgency to carry an understanding everywhere I go. I have been at this for several months, and tonight I feel to transmit, to share with you these things I'm about to say. As a foundation for what I want to transmit to you, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12, it says in Colossians 1 and 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Everyone say, Jesus. In whom, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Look at this. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And here it is. And he, meaning Jesus, is the head of the body. Everyone say head. And he is the head of the body, the church. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you and that's me. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts, and would you pray here tonight that God will do with us individually and conglomerately exactly what he wants to do? Lord Jesus, tonight I ask that you will take away all inhibitions, that you will set us free, O God, from every lying spirit, that you will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence, that you will lift us into the realm of revelation and understanding here tonight, and that by the touch of the Master's hand, by the sound of your voice, that we will be changed, that we will be new and different, and that no one here tonight within the sound of my voice will leave here unchanged, but that a terrible burden will come upon us. And that terrible conviction will grip us in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds tonight. And that you will deliver us, that you will set us free, and that you will cause us to gain, as it were, a recklessness, a boldness as we've never known before. We will not fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask these things in the matchless, resplendent, all-powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap uproariously for just a moment? Would you let your voice out? Everybody, the Bible says, King David speaking, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. And there is incredible triumph in this house here tonight, because there are great men of God and women of God here who have come to hear from God himself. I wonder what would happen if every man, every woman, every young person here tonight would clap your hands, literally clap, get involved, and that you would lift your voice of praise to the Lord. What a difference. What an incredible difference. When we are together in one mind and one accord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus forever. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. It was on Sunday morning. I was preaching for Brother T.W. Barnes. We'd had a great move of God. And in the course of my preaching, I was able to observe an individual to my right on the aisle. At the end of my preaching, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, "Get him to me." And so, near the end of my preaching, in my way of doing things, I reached out to him, and people were standing at this point. We were at the end, and I said to him, "You, would you come?" And he looked straight ahead. He did not respond to the invitation I was giving. He did not respond to the pleading. And I could not escape it. I didn't feel to stop. And so again, I said to him, you, sir, would you come? The Holy Ghost is reaching for you. And again, he did not respond. He just stood there. And so in my urgency, I began to explain the color of his jacket and the color of his tie so that there was no mistake as to whom I was reaching for. And at that point, he looked at me and I said, "Would you come?" I said, "The Holy Ghost is reaching for you." And he began to move slowly. But ladies and gentlemen, he was not coming because he wanted to come. He was coming only to get rid of the pressure that I was creating upon his life at that moment in time. And so he came down front, and I said, "If you'll just lift your hands and seek God, I want to pray for you." He lifted his hands and he began to pray, but he was not praying. He was really not reaching for God. He was going through the motions. And I felt even more desperate now than I had before. And so I got a hold of him and I began to pray fervently for him. It did not change his particular voice or his intensity. And so I prayed several moments with him and there was basically no response. And so I moved on to others because there were people pulling at me, wanting me to pray for others in the altar area. And so I slipped away and began to pray for others and looked back, and already he had taken his hands down and he began to slowly walk back to the seat from whence he had come. The service ended. I preached that night and we had a great move of God. I went home on Monday. 2 weeks later, the phone rang in my home and I picked up the receiver and it was a voice of someone I knew in Brother Barnes's church. And he said to me, he said, "Brother Stone King, you have no idea how on target you were on Sunday morning when you called that man out." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Brother Stone King, that man has fallen from a two-story building on his neck, his head, and his shoulders. He is now paralyzed from the waist down. He is unable to move. And the family is asking for you to come. Will you come?" I said, yes, I will come. And so I went. And I'll never forget this. Brother Barnes and I walked into the hospital room. And Brother Barnes got on one side of him, and I got on the other side of him. And we looked down into a face that was filled with pain. I don't mean physical pain. I mean mental anguish. And as I looked at him, I had been told by Brother Barnes that in the interim between the fall and our now standing over him, that the family had devised a communication system with him. The only thing he could move in his entire body was this little finger on the left hand. And so they would ask him questions. His head was alert. His mind was alert. He had total cognizance of what was going on. It's that his body was totally paralyzed from the neck down. So they would ask questions like, "Are you in pain?" And if the little finger did not move, the answer was no. If they asked a question about anything, and the answer was yes, he would move that little finger. And so when I walked up to him, tears began to roll out of his eyes and down his cheeks into the pillow. And I said, "Are you glad that we have come?" And my little finger moved like that. I said, "Would you like us to pray for you?" And that little finger moved like that. And Brother Barnes and I took hold of hands across his body and we began to pray. I was not more
into the prayer more than maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds. And I realized that the prayer was going to the roof of my mouth and just falling back on my tongue. And I became desperate, but still I sensed that the prayer was not being heard. There will come a day that the Spirit of God will not always strive with you. That's why it is written, "Behold, today is the day of salvation." If you can feel God in this place tonight, that is God calling you. You need to come tonight. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Don't put it off until tomorrow night or next week, because you may never, ever feel this way again. Behold, today is the day of salvation. He missed his day. He missed his day of salvation. He did not come. God in his foreknowledge knew tragedy was lurking, and God was making a way to thwart it. But he did not come. We prayed. We talked to him. There was no response, of course, except for this little finger. And eventually, we walked out. That man has never recovered from that. But this is the thing I want to alert you to. That the pain in his face, the anxiety in his countenance, will go with me to my grave as long as I have mental cognizance myself. I can still see the pain in that man's face. I can still see it. There was another revival I was in. The place was packed wall to wall. It was many years ago now. We had a great move of God. There were dozens and dozens receiving the Holy Ghost. It was back in the 70s, late 70s. And I stepped into the pulpit. I had just read my text. And at the moment, that moment, the door opened at the back, and they pushed some man through in the wheelchair. There was no place for him to be seated. There were people standing too deep against the wall at the back of the building, and there was only one center aisle. And so they were trying to figure out what to do with this man in the wheelchair. And I'm watching all of this as I'm beginning to preach. Finally, a couple of men against the wall, they backed away and they made a place. And now they were three or four deep for a small area there. And they pushed the wheelchair with this man in the wheelchair back against the wall. It was obvious by looking at him in the wheelchair that he had been severely damaged in some kind of accident, because he was very spastic. His head was sideways, his arm was twisting, and I took note of it and continued to pray, or preach rather, and pray for the people as I went along. In the end result, the Holy Ghost fell, and the gift of faith took over in that audience and in that altar area, and people were beginning to receive the Holy Ghost. And I was right here, in this area right here, and I looked and I could see in my peripheral vision there was movement in this aisle that was packed with people. And what was happening is they were pushing that man in the wheelchair through that mass of people trying to get him to me. And it was with no little effort, because they had to push the people out of the way to get the wheelchair through. When they got the wheelchair through to me, I reached over to him and I put my hand on his head to pray for him. And when I did, these three fingers fell through a hole in his skull. He had a head of dark curly hair, and I didn't realize that the skull, a large portion of the skull, was missing. And when I just laid my hands on his head, the fingers fell through that hole, and it was just sort of a disconcerting feeling. And so I got down on my knees in front of him, and I said to him, "What happened to you?" And in his spastic ability and his way of getting the thing out, he finally got the story out to me that he had been a motorcyclist. He was an owner of a motorcycle shop, and that he had had a great deal of money, but he was in an accident on the highway, and when the paramedics, the ambulance, came to the accident, when they picked him up, they left a part of his brain lying on the highway. And they took him to the hospital, And in the hospital, by rummaging through his personal effects, they found in his wallet, they found an ID card. And they knew who he was, and they knew where he lived. And they called his wife, and they had a little girl. And she was told that there was a terrible accident. The police come to the hospital. And so she came to the hospital. She came into the room where he was lying. He was totally paralyzed from the waist down. He was unable to move, and he was unable to speak at that point. And so the doctors gave the prognosis and the diagnosis. They told his wife, they said, he will never walk again. He will never be able to speak again. He will be a vegetable in this state for the rest of his life. And when his wife heard that, she asked for a mercy divorcement at his bedside. And it was granted. In the wheelchair, I said to him, would you like me to pray for you? After he told me the story, I said, I knew his name by this point. I said, Bob, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus makes such a difference. And people, he does. He makes such a difference. That's why we're here tonight. That's what this conference is all about. Because Jesus has made such a difference in all of our lives. Clap your hands again if you concur with that. Hallelujah. He said, yes, I would like the Holy Ghost. I laid my hands on his chest. I'm not exaggerating. The man fell forward in my hands, sobbing and crying. And I pushed him up in a straight position. I said, but you got to praise him. You're never going to get the Holy Ghost begging. You got to praise him. He began to praise him. And he burst out speaking with tongues. God gave the man the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. But that's not the end of the story. After that, boldness came on me, and I said to him, I believe that you can walk in the name of Jesus, and I pulled him out of the wheelchair. You have no idea how much criticism I have received for that type of thing in the last 39 years. But the criticism doesn't matter to me. What matters to me are the results, not the criticism, but the results. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes! If Peter and John pulled them up at the gate beautiful, I can pull them out of a wheelchair. Because I've got what they had. I've got what they had. Clap your hands again, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord for the voice. I am. I pulled him out of the wheelchair. My pastor, Brother Butcher, was there. He came running. He knows how I operate. I told you the story before, I'm sure, somewhere through the years. We walked him in Jesus' name. To make a long story short, he was miraculously healed. He walked out of there that night. He collapsed the wheelchair and pushed the wheelchair out. We helped him load it. And today, he walks as well as I do. His speech has totally returned. He is well. He is whole because of a man called Jesus. But that is not the angle of the story I want to transmit to you. The angle is this. Later, he told me, he said, well, the storm came. He said, I cannot tell you the agony in my mind when my wife came in and my little girl. He said, the doctors told her the prognosis that I would never walk again, I would be a vegetable, that I would never talk again. He said, I could understand everything they were doing, everything they were saying. He said, but I could not move. He said, I felt like I was going to go insane. He said, I felt like my mind was going to go 40 directions. He said, and when my wife asked for a mercy divorcement, I couldn't believe it. He said, and when they granted it, he said, I felt like I was going to lose my mind totally. He said, my brain, my head said to my arms, reach out and grab her. Don't let her go away. He said, but my arms did not respond. He said, my head, as they walked out of the room, spoke to my feet and my limbs. He said, I sent a signal from my brain to my legs to jump out of the bed and run after them and bring them back. He said, but my legs did not move. He said, my mind, I tried to cry out with my voice. He said, but my lips would not move. The Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church, the body, and that we are the body. Jesus is the head of this church. And if you are sensitive at all in this hour, you can feel a signal trying to get through from the head. There are signals trying to get through from the head in this hour that are unprecedented in urgency. But the body is paralyzed in many places by sin, worldliness, lethargy, complacency, and even our own traditions. The head is sending signals. Sometimes in my home, there are waves of the Holy Ghost that flood over me. I can feel that Jesus, if you'd allow me to say it this way, is about to just absolutely go 40 directions. There's such a desperation in him to get signals through to the body. He wants you to do something like he's never ever wanted you to do something before. Over 6 billion people in the world, hell hath enlarged her mouth to receive the multitudes that are plunging there. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How shall they hear except the preacher be sent? Who will go for me? Oh, if you are sensitive at all, you can hear signals coming from the Lord. He is absolutely desperate. It's like he's going crazy in this hour. There's a signal coming through that is saying, get beyond yourself. Move out. Move out of your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. Hear the cry of the perishing. Hear the cry. Time over a pew. Get involved like you've never been involved. Lay hands on somebody. Get a hold of somebody. Teach a Bible study. Tell somebody about me. And I'm here tonight to tell you that where God can get the signal through, God is doing wild things in this hour. He is doing fanatical things in this hour. Because where he can get the signal through and the paralysis is shaking off, signs, wonders, miracles are beginning to happen. God is beginning to move in an unprecedented manner because the head is sending signals in this hour unlike anything that has ever happened in the history of the church, because we are at the end. Hallelujah! I am torn up with this. I'm preaching this everywhere I go. In America, on foreign soil. Because there's something saying in this hour, do something you have never done before. To see something you've never seen before. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just be a traditional Pentecostal. I'm not going to be a traditional Pentecostal. I'm going to be an apostolic Pentecostal. I'm going to do some things I've never done before to see some things I've never seen before.
because I want to see it. I've heard about it, but I want to see it. And there's a signal coming through. There's a signal coming through. Let me tell you something, people. In this landmark, something wants to become born here that will change the course of this city, that will change the course of the churches from which you come. We're at the very end. The signal is saying, do it, do it, do it. Try it, try it, do it, try it, do it. Try it, do it, try it, do it. Yes! I don't want to be comfortable. I can't be comfortable. I prayed today. I said, Jesus, I don't want to hurt you. I do not want to disappoint you. I don't want to do anything that will bring any kind of reproach against your kingdom. I want to live for you. I want to do this thing right. I want it to happen. I want our people to get into this. I cannot live without a burden. I cannot live without seeing it. And I'm here tonight to tell you, it's beginning to happen in this country. The things that we're hearing about from foreign soil are now beginning to break loose in this country. They're beginning to break loose because in many areas, the body is shaking off the paralysis. And the body is saying, we're going to have this. We've seen it. And we've heard about it. We're not just going to do this in our mind. We're going to get involved like we've never, ever been involved before. Why not? Somebody's going to do it. It might as well be you young people. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do it. Why are we here? What is this all about? All this teaching, all of this that you do, all this labor, all this sacrifice. It's because this is real. 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 This is the only reality. I witnessed to a flight attendant on my way here. I upgraded the first class. I caught him. He gave very good service. I went to tell him how appreciative I was of the service he gave. He said, who are you? I said, well, this is what I am all about. And I began to tell him. I began to talk to him. And he was sort of defensive about this religion and that religion. I said, well, look at it from this perspective. I said, this Jesus is the only one that changes a life. Buddhism does not change you. Islam does not change you. Those things, Hinduism does not change you. They just fill you with hatred. But Jesus, Jesus changes you. He changes you. And no other religion can boast such a thing. None of the isms or schisms of the world can boast such a thing. But He changed me. He made me new. He made me whole. He gave me a reason to live. My sins are gone. There is joy in my heart. There is joy in my heart. There is healing in my body. When I got done, he said to me, he said, I'll say one thing for you. He said, you shine with it. I said, you're supposed to shine with it because he's a light. He is a light. He is a light. God is raising up a generation of young preachers unlike anything this world has ever known or ever seen. The Bible says in the last days, your sons and daughters will prophesy. I really believe that means there's coming a point in history, in human history, before the coming of the Lord, when our sons and our daughters are going to step forth with an anointing, and they're going to begin to preach in a way that this world has never heard before. It's already building. It's already happening. It's already taking place. Something is about to happen. I'm here tonight to tell you, if you think this Jesus is coming back for anything less than what he left in 33 AD, you are totally naive and you border on complete stupidity. He is not coming back for anything less than what he began in 33 AD. He's coming for a Book of Acts church. He's coming for signs and wonders and miracles. He's coming for a fivefold ministry. He's coming for the gifts of the Spirit rampant in the church.
That's what he's coming back for. He's coming back with the sound of the rushing mighty wind, the cloven tongues of fire. That's exactly. He started it that way, and it's going to end that way. But it's going to be seven times greater. It's going to be seven times greater, because the latter rains are seven times greater than the former rain. It's going to be seven times greater. Yes! Oh.
Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I have a friend in Southern Illinois. He has never had a license with the United Pentecostal Church. He's never had any kind of a license. But he has got an experience. He is one of the greatest soul winners I have ever known. His son now, 20 years of age, is into it with him. This man teaches welding in... I just got an email from him and a phone call. He said, Brother Stonking, I've got into the local prison. He said, I'm preaching in the prison. He's got a Bible school going. He's got a church and doesn't even have a license. You don't need a license. Doesn't make you a preacher. A license doesn't give you the credential. The Holy Ghost and fire gives you the credential. And a name that is above every name. A name that is above every name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He is in the prison. He told me in this email, he said, oh, Brother Stokin, guess what? He said, I have baptized 58 inmates in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, there are more coming. You may be seated. Say, I'm excited. Look at your neighbor and say, what's wrong with you? People, if we have what we say we have, we ought to be excited Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, start over again on Monday. If we really have what we say we have, we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Yes! Oh. Oh. Say, I'm going to do it. When I said, some of you ought to do something you've never done before, to see something you've never seen before. Some of you here have never taught a Bible study. You've never danced in the aisle. You've never laid hands on anybody. Why don't you do all that stuff tonight? Yeah. God is raising up incredible ministries. Tim, I didn't ask your permission to do this, and I'll apologize later. Stand up for a minute. This young man's name is Tim Wissenit. He's 22 years of old, does not have a license to preach. He is powerfully used by God. He was in a terrible car accident here in California last year sometime. Number one, he's supposed to be dead. Number two, he's supposed to be in a wheelchair. Number three, he's neither. He's alive and well because there is a man called Jesus. He's not supposed to be able to lift his foot at all. He's got braces and all kinds of things under those pant legs, but he's not supposed to be able to lift this foot. We got a hold of him and prayed for him in Jesus' name at Thanksgiving time. And guess what? He's able to lift that foot now. The doctor nearly fainted the other day when he just showed him what he could do. I tell you something, people. If you ever get a grasp for how real this Jesus is, it will set your soul on fire. It will set your house in order. It will revolutionize the church. And it will convert the community. It will convert the community. Mm. I tell you, Tim is wild. He reminds me a lot of you, Nathaniel, when I first met you.
He's very much like you. He called me. He left a message on my cell phone. I don't know. It's been a month ago now. Whatever. He said, Brother Stoking, I just came out of a Sunday morning service. He said, guess what happened? He said, our priest and the power of God came down. He said, the power of God was moving on the people. He said, so instead of closing it down and saying an amen, he said, I just said, I want everybody to grab your purses, grab your Bibles, grab your belongings. Don't lose what you've got a hold of. I want you to get out of this church. Get out of the church. Get out of here. Take this home with you. And they know what? They were sort of in a state of shock. You know, I think you probably would be. But they obeyed his authority. They grabbed their purses, their Bibles, and whatever, and they got out in the parking lot, and the power of God hit them on the parking lot. They began to shout and dance and speak with tongues. They began to get the Holy Ghost. They fell out in the parking lot, and the neighbors came out of all the houses around the church to see what was going on. Am I telling the truth or what? I'm telling the truth. You know why? Because there is a fanaticism. There is something that needs to happen. There is something that needs to happen. Hallelujah. 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 And he still does not have a license. I told him the other day, don't you get a license. Just don't get a license, because without a license, there's nothing they can do. They can't drag you in. They can't prosecute you. Just keep doing your thing for Jesus. It doesn't matter what anybody does or says. Just get in there and do it. You people have got a hold of the greatest thing in the entire universe. You've got the license inside of you. If you've been to water in Jesus' name, if you spoke in tongues with the Holy Ghost, yes, you've got the fire. You've got the dynamo. You've got your credential. You've got the diploma. You've got what it takes. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Tap your hands again, all ye people. All ye people, what a wonderful people you are. What a glorious people you are. What a marvelous people you are here tonight, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, changed by the touch of the Master's hand. Do you hear me tonight? Jesus said, this is the truth. He said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. It shall make you free. Free of what? Free of every other ideology, every other dogma, every other doctrine. Nobody out there would ever convert me. That's nonsense. Because I've got it. And I know that I've got it. You can come from anything to this, but you cannot go from this to anything else. There's nothing else to go to. This is the end of the line. And I want you to hear me tonight. There is ex-everything in this congregation. There's ex-Baptists, ex-whatever. Ex-Catholics, ex-Muslims. There's ex-everything in here. Ex-everything in here. Why are we here? Because this is so much better than where we were. This is so much better than where we were. And you know something, young people? We are never going back. You kids don't ever have to go back. You don't ever have to go back. You don't ever have to go back. No! I feel a tremendous urgency. I feel like the Lord spoke to me twice this afternoon. He moved on me twice this afternoon. And I'm only going to do this because I feel to do it. But something is about to happen. Something is about to happen that has never, ever happened before for many of us. There are things beginning to happen for me that's never, ever happened before. I was in a meeting in Malaysia back in the first part of December. It's the most apostolic, prophetic meeting I've ever been in. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. I've never seen anything like it. God, if He can get the signal through from His head to the body, and if the body will shake off the paralysis, God will absolutely do things that will shake the world and confound the intellects and the presidents and the leaders and the governments of nations. We are a people. We are an apostolic people. We are Pentecostals, but we are apostolic Pentecostals. There's a difference. I'm a student of the Bible. I have studied it. I have read it. I know, though there are many others like that here. I don't know what there is about this. I really don't totally understand it. But there is some kind of a connection between the shouting of a human voice and God moving miraculously. I don't understand that at all. It's in the Old Testament. I mean, God required them to walk around the wall 7 times and blow these trumpets and then shout with human voices. And when they shouted with their voices, the walls came down. In other places, the people of God shouted and the enemy was discomfited. They killed each other. I mean, battles were won. Walls came down. All kinds of things happened when the people of God shouted with their voices to the Lord. I don't understand what that is all about. I don't know why God responds to a human voice the way he does. I just know that biblically, if the Bible is full, if you look for it, the shouting of human voices and what God did as a result of those human voices shouting. There was something that moved God to knock devils out, to bring down kingdoms, to destroy empires, to discomfit enemies. I mean, there was nothing that could stand against them when the people of God got together and shouted together unto their God. I can tell you here tonight authoritatively in this congregation, because it is representative of many areas of the country, there is something that God wants to break here in this meeting, the first night of this landmark convention, that will change the course of this church and the churches from which you have come. Something wants to break loose in this place, in your life here tonight. And I'll tell you exactly how it will come about. I said, we're going to do something you've never done before. We've never done before, to see something we've never seen before. I want you to stand. Don't do it yet, but I want you to stand. And we're going to shout with our voices unto the Lord on the count of three. And when you do, something is going to break individually in lives and conglomerately as a people. Not just for you here tonight, but for this entire area. The opposition is gaining ground. We must become aggressive like we have never been aggressive before. God is ready for a shout. He's ready for a shout from his people from this area. Would you stand? Would you lift both hands? Can you feel something? At the count of three, I want you to let your voice out and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph like you have never, ever done it before in the history of your Christian walk. 1, 2, 3. Now, Jesus, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name of Jesus. Thank you.
You can feel it! You can feel it! You can feel it! Thank you.